Psalms 27, verses 4 through 6. And it is a passage of scripture that we are all very familiar with. I'm sure we've all said it once in a while. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart to share with you today. Psalm 27, verse 4, when you're there, say amen. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. I want to focus on verse 5, where it says, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. Today I want to preach to a message simply entitled, Seek and Hide. Seek and Hide. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer, and I'm going to entrust the outcome of this message into his very capable hands. I can do nothing in my flesh, but only by the Spirit of God can we see deliverance, can we see miracles, we can see healing, we can see salvation. And I want you to agree with me in preaching this message, that this will bless someone today. Heavenly Father, right now we bless you. God, we glorify and we recognize you as being in this place in our midst today. And Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, have your way. Speak through me, O God, only as you can. Use me, Lord Jesus, to bless this house, to bless this congregation, to those that are listening online. We pray against every hindrance and anything that would try to obstruct your will from being accomplished today. We declare the loosening of your power, that your spirit would have free course in our midst today. We give you the praise and the honor. We worship you. We bless you. We glorify you. And we give you all the thanks. And in Jesus' name, let the church of the living God say amen. You may be seated. So the title of my message is Seek and Hide, and that doesn't quite sound right to our ears because we're used to hearing the phrase in the reverse order as far as saying, you know, hide and seek. And this is a game I'm sure all of you played as children, that there was someone that was it that was selected to be the person to pursue the rest of the participants, and everyone else had the mission and the purpose of trying to evade capture or discovery, that they would go and hide themselves in various places. Some were better at it than others, and some could hide very well where you could never find them. I can tell even with my own children, we played hide and seek, that it's been an interesting time because sometimes I'm looking for them and I have a pretty good idea where they are. I'll pretend like I'm looking in the wrong place, and whenever I do that, they'll say, Daddy, I'm over here. I was like, you're not supposed to say anything. That kind of defeats the whole purpose of the game, that you're supposed to hide and I'm supposed to seek you. That's the way it's supposed to work. However, contrary to what the name suggests, the seeking actually occurs before the hiding. Those who wish to be hidden must first seek a place to hide, then conceal themselves in that place. So although the game is called hide and seek, really before you can hide, you have to seek a place to hide in. So really, it should be seek and hide. I know we say hide and seek because we're saying, well, the person is hiding and one person is seeking, but technically, one is doing both. That the person that's doing the hiding has to first seek and find a place of concealment before they can be hidden. And as I stated earlier, that sometimes people are not the best at this, particularly children, when even though it's a children's game, sometimes they struggle in this area. Children who are especially bad at hide and seek are those who struggle with the understanding of the concept of object permanence. Object permanence is the understanding that objects continue to exist even when they cannot be perceived, such as being seen, heard, touched, smelled, or sensed in any way. So object permanence means that something continues to exist whether I can see it or not. Children struggle with that. It's a developmental stage as they grow and as they mature that they learn that things of an object's existence is not dependent on my ability to see it or to perceive it. There are two aspects regarding object permanence that children struggle with. First of all, they believe that, as I said before, that the existence of another object is dependent on what they can see. If I can't see it, then it doesn't exist. This is why peekaboo is so fascinating to children. When they cover their eyes, they think that the whole world has stopped existing. And then when they take their eyes off, oh, it's there. It came back. It's a surprise. And you can continue in this game over and over and over again. And they continue to be surprised because they think that when they close their eyes and they can't see it, that object is no longer there. They think you disappear. Now, the second aspect of object permanence that children struggle with is that they think that because I can't see something or I can't see a person in particular, that they can't see me. So, for example, we're playing hide and seek. Some children, instead of going to hide someplace, seeking out a place to hide, they'll just cover their eyes. Because they think, if I can't see you, you can't see me. Because they don't understand about object permanence. Now, of course, that sounds ridiculous, but believe it or not, there are a lot of people who do this spiritually. And the fact of the matter is, if you try and hide yourself first without seeking for a place to hide, then you'll be doing peekaboo nonsense. If we're playing a game of hide and seek, and I said, okay, I'm going to start counting, and all you do is close your eyes, you're the proverbial ostrich that sticks its head in the sand, so to speak, and you think that because you can't see me that I can't see you, you're going to be discovered very quickly. That in order to have a good hiding place, you've got to do some seeking first. So people, again, they hide peekaboo style. Now, we laugh at that. We think, oh, that's ridiculous. You know, they're just children. They don't understand that concept. But human beings, mature adults, do this mentally, psychologically, and spiritually. They play peekaboo with their problems and with their troubles. Trouble is trying to find you. Your issue is trying to find you. And you think that if you blind yourself to the problem, that somehow you're concealed from it. You blind yourself by putting all sorts of substances in your body, such as alcohol or drugs. You try and blind yourself and make yourself numb to the issue being there and it existing by pursuing a career or increasing your education or pursuing a higher salary or looking in a relationship. And you think if I can get hide behind this thing, if I close my eyes to this issue, that means it can't see me. I'm sorry to tell you, but it doesn't matter how much alcohol that you drink, the issue can still see you. It does not matter how many pills you take. The bill collector can still see you. He won't find you in here, though. It's one place bill collectors don't typically look is in church. So you're safe here, folks, for now. The fact of the matter is that we've duped ourselves into thinking that by me basically enumerating myself or having a good time or binge watching some show that I am somehow evading or escaping the issue. No, I've only played peekaboo with it. I've closed my eyes, so I'm no longer aware of it, even though the issue is still there, and it's still coming after me. You know, trouble will pursue you and follow you wherever you go if you don't deal with it properly. The fact of the matter is, your troubles are coming for you, whether you like it or not. No matter how much you try to evade it, no matter how many shows on Netflix you watch, no matter how much you scroll on Facebook, no matter how many tweets you look at on Twitter, it's still there and it's coming after you. We're playing a real life game of hide and seek. And we've got to get to a place where the trouble is not going to destroy us or kill us. And I'll take this to another level. We're in a very dangerous game of hide and seek. That if you don't hide yourself, it's going to kill you. Look at 1 Peter 5:8. 1 Peter 5:8 says this. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. You think this salvation thing is something, well, I can just, you know, I can blind myself, peekaboo, put my hands over my eyes, and somehow that gets rid of the problem. The issues, the struggles, the traumas, the pain, the atrocities that you're dealing with, you cannot medicate this away. You cannot escape it or just close your eyes to it and just say, well, I'll just numb myself to it. It's still there, and it's coming to find you. The devil is prowling around like a predator, trying to seek those who he can devour. The devil and our troubles are seeking to destroy us, and our feeble peekaboo tactics are failing to hide us from them. And when we sin, and now here's the interesting thing, when we sin or get into trouble, we play hide and seek with God as well. We play hide and seek with God as well. And we've all done it. We've done something stupid at home when we were kids. When daddy's coming home, we all try and hide. I I have 5 children. That's all I can say. I'm glad he's happy to see me when I come home. That's because he hasn't done anything wrong. Let's keep that up. Anyway. Anyway. Isn't it interesting that when we get into trouble, we play hide and seek with God? We will hide from God and we will seek an answer from our problems elsewhere. Because we're embarrassed or ashamed, we don't want to get into the righteousness or in the presence of God because we feel like we're going to be condemned. And so we play hide and seek from God. You look at Adam and Eve. When they made a mistake, they were not looking for God. They were hiding from him, and God had to seek them out. I am so glad that God seeks me out, that the Savior came to seek and to save those that are lost, that even though I was trying to hide in my foolishness, in my idiocy, in my wickedness, and in my iniquity, that God pursued me, and he found me, not to judge me, not to condemn me, but to rescue me, to forgive me, and to redeem me. The Bible says in Proverbs 28, verse 13, that he that covereth his sins shall not prosper, but whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. We cannot hide ourselves, escape Satan's accusations, our sins, or our troubles. Instead, we must seek God. If you try and cover up your problem, cover up your sin by your own righteousness, by your own deeds, by your own endeavors, by your own efforts and works, it's going to come to the surface. You cannot conceal it. You cannot escape it. You need someone else to hide you. Instead, what we need to do, instead of playing hide and seek, we need to play seek and hide. When we seek God's face and he hides us from our sins, he hides us from our troubles, he hides us from the accusations of Satan. We need to seek God. That's why the Bible says in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us. The Bible says in Psalm 64, verse 2, hear my voice, O God, in my prayer. Preserve my life from fear of the enemy. Hide me from the secret counsel of the wicked, from the insurrection of the workers of iniquity. God, I cannot deal with this problem on my own. There's no way out of it. It's going to capture me. It's going to destroy me. God, I need you to find me a hiding place. I need you to put me in a place of protection. I need to go into a witness protection program. Will you change my identity and change my name and change where who I am? We call that being born again, folks. When you get born again, God puts you in a witness protection program where he gives you a new name, he gives you a new identity where the enemy cannot find you anymore. It is interesting, though, how come it seems like when I'm in trouble I can't seem to find God? It always seems like when everything is falling apart and all hell is breaking loose, that's when it seems like God goes missing in action. Where is God? I'm going through a crisis. I'm going through a horrible situation, and it seems almost as if the heavens have been shut to me. The psalmist said this in Psalms 10, verse 1. Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thou thyself in times of trouble? Why does it seem like that whenever I'm going through the most adverse situations, that it seems like God is not there? I'll tell you why. Because Christians often have a problem with object permanence. I'm going to repeat that again. Christians, as well as children, have problems with object permanence. Because spiritually, we believe that God's existence or his involvement is dependent on our ability to see or perceive him. We think that because I cannot see God in my situation, then that means he's not there working behind the scenes. Just as a child thinks that if I close my eyes, it means that this thing has disappeared. We think that because I cannot see God in the midst of my trouble and in the midst of my struggle, that God has somehow abandoned me, that God has somehow forsaken me. We have a problem with object permanence, that God's existence is not dependent on your ability to perceive him or see him. God is God all by himself. He is the I am that I am, the self-existing God. He was before anything else began. He does not need your eyes to perceive him in order for him to exist.
And number two, we think that because we can't see God, that God cannot see us. God, don't you see me here drowning in financial trouble? Don't you see me here struggling just to keep my head above the water, all the pain and the things that I'm going through? Don't you see me? I don't see you. That means you must not be able to see me. And we're playing peekaboo with God. He's not there. He's not there. I can't see him. And he can't see me. One of the titles for God is that he's called the God that sees me. He's the God that sees me in my mess and comes to my rescue. He's moved with compassion to intervene on my behalf, to intercede, to mediate, and to arbitrate my dispute. He comes to my rescue. That's why the Bible says in Psalm 46:1 that God is our refuge and he's a present help in trouble. We think that he's not there, that he can't see us. Psalm 13:1 says, how long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? This object permanence thing, it kind of goes both ways, you know, another sense. Because one sense, we think that because, okay, we can't see God can't see us, and we're struggling, we're getting depressed. On the other hand, we have some people who think, because I can't see God, and he must not be able to see me, that means I can do stuff and get away with it. Right? You think God doesn't see you when you're doing mess. He can't see me. Object permanence. We think because I can't see him, he can't see me. And that's when you get people doing crazy stuff. Because you think God doesn't see you. God sees you. And we think that because he is a God of mercy and he's a God of grace, that because we don't receive instant punishment for our situations, that he doesn't see us and we're going to get away with it. I want you to know that the Bible says differently. In Galatians chapter 6, I believe verse 7, it says that be not deceived that God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. God sees what you're doing. Don't think that because you can't see God, that God cannot see you. So here's the thing in this game of seek and hide. That in order for us to get to a place of safety where the troubles and the pains, the accusations, the condemnation cannot get us, we must first recognize that though we may not be able to perceive God, that he is always there. I know you cannot see that he's there, but God is always there. One of the divine attributes that he possesses is that he's omnipresent, meaning that he is everywhere at once. He is behind you, he is in front of you, he's on your left, he's on your right, he is above you, and he is beneath you, and he desires to be in you. That's the type of God that we have. His name is Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is here. Emmanuel, God is with us. He is a God that never abandons us nor forsakes us in the midst of trouble. But he said, I'll be with you always, even unto the end of the age, unto the end of the world. Now the thing is this, that in order for you to seek God, you do need to have some sort of perception of him. And the way that you see God is through faith. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. When I cannot see God intervening on my behalf, I've got to operate on a higher level of faith. And faith comes by the word of God, Romans 10:17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The thing about hearing is that it's able to depict a reality that your physical or natural eyes cannot see. When you're reading a book, even though you're not on the ocean, on a pirate ship, because the words are giving you a description of your faith organ, your imagination is activated, and you'll be able to see things that you cannot see with your natural eye. Even though the situation looks depressing, even though it looks hopeless, but when I read the word of God, it paints a reality that I cannot see with my natural, but I can see through the eyes of faith. And when I can see through the eyes of faith, then I can seek him. And then when I can seek him, I can find a place of rest. The Bible says in Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's what? A rewarder of them that diligently seek him. But one of the reasons why we've not found a hiding place is because we've not sought him. We have sought every other human method to deal with our situations. We've sought psychologists and counselors. We've sought Dr. Phil and Oprah. We've sought all forms of medication. We've sought doctors. We've sought all our friends and our cousins, our aunties, our uncles. But have you sought the Most High? Have you sought the wonderful counselor? Have you sought the one who has all power in his hand? Have you sought the one who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life? We need to seek him. I really want to emphasize this point about seeking him. That one of the issues that we have is that we do not have a church that is diligently seek him. Not haphazardly, not lazily, not in a lukewarm fashion, but going after God with everything that you have, because you know that if I don't get to Jesus, if I don't stay in his presence, then I know that the enemy, the lion, is going to devour me. I want to go to Psalms 27 to give some context to the main text that I read earlier. And we're going to start at verse 1 this time. Psalm 27, verse 1. It's a verse we've all heard many times before. That the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Now look what David is describing here. He says, when the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. So we're playing a game of hide and seek, or seek and hide, more. Or I guess you have it as like a combination of tag, because it's really intense. Because he's really coming after you with everything he has. And you're doing everything you can to try and get out of the clutches of the enemy. But it said that when he came at me, he stumbled and he fell. Verse 3. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. The war should rise against me. In this will I be confident. David, he depicts this reality that even though I'm in darkness, that the Lord is my light and he is my salvation, I have nothing to fear. And even though I'm surrounded by a host of armies and enemies, and they come against me, I will be confident in this thing. What is David confident in? Psalm 27, verse 4, that one thing have I desired of the Lord. And look at this, that will I seek after. He's saying, I know of a hiding place, and I'm going to seek after it where the enemy cannot touch me and he cannot afflict me. He says, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. One of the reasons why I'm not intimidated by the bill that's just dropped in my lap, the reason why I'm not scared of the doctor report that I've just received, because I know how to seek God. I know where to find God. He said, in this will I be confident, that one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to make inquiry, to inquire in his temple. Now look what he says here in verse number 5. Now that I've sought God, look what God does for me. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. I could not escape. There was no hiding place I could go to deal with my sin. There was nothing that could deal with the horribleness, the sinfulness that I was carrying. Nothing could cover my case. But what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. I tried to be righteous and hide behind my own good works and my own good efforts, but my leg was still sticking out into something sinful, and the devil could still see me. I tried to hide myself in my career, thinking that success would hide me and conceal my wicked soul, but the devil saw my hands touching some things and he could still find me. But when I got under the blood of Jesus, he could not find me. He's like looking over to the left, looking over to the right, and couldn't find nobody. All he saw was the crimson stream that flowed from Calvary. All he saw was that which makes me white as snow. All he saw was the righteousness of God. When I found God, when I made God my hiding place, I want you to understand something, that one of the reasons why God is not hiding you because you're not seeking him. You've got to seek him. The Bible says that in Matthew 7:7, that ask and ye shall receive, seek and ye shall find, knock and the door shall be opened unto you. Don't you understand, if you will seek God with all of your heart, that God will hide you. Now look at this here in Psalm 27:5, for in the time of trouble he shall hide me. The word, Hebrew word there for hide there is safan. It can mean to hide, but it also means to esteem or to treasure. It means to esteem, also to treasure. I want to read this verse again, but say it with the word treasure this time. For in the time of trouble he shall treasure me. Psalm 119:11 says, thy word have I safan, hid, treasured in my heart, that I might not sin against God. The Bible says when you seek God with all of your heart, the Bible says, I'm going to hide you and protect you like you're my treasure. You're all mine. I'm going to go Lord of the Rings Gollum and say, you mine, sir. This is my precious. This is my child. You belong to me. The enemy cannot touch you. The enemy cannot afflict you because you're my treasure. For in the time of trouble, he shall treasure me. He shall treasure me in his pavilion. Now I want to describe the hiding place that God has afforded for you today. That God has treasured you. So that's his attitude towards you when he hides you. I want to tell you where God is hiding you. Let's read this again. Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide or treasure, esteem me in his pavilion. The word pavilion there in the Hebrew is soka. It literally means, it can mean a pavilion or a tent, but it also can mean a den for a lion. It can mean a den for a lion. In the same sense that where a lion would take his kill or take whatever he's got, he takes it back to his den to keep it. This is the place where God wants to hide you. Because the Bible says that God is a lion, is the lion of the tribe of Judah. That when God gets you and protects you, he pulls you into his den. And like a lion that's fighting for what he's captured, he's not letting anyone touch you. Don't you understand that although the enemy seeks you like a lion, we've got the lion of the tribe of Judah. We've got Simba who's going to kill Scar, if you understand what I mean. That there's two lions fighting and Simba's about to beat his behind for trying to take Mufasa. The lion of the tribe of Judah has brought us into his den when we seek God. The Bible says in John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Don't you understand that when God gets a hold of your life, that the enemy cannot take you, the enemy cannot steal you, he cannot kidnap you, he cannot rob you, he cannot bring you away from the grasp of God's hand, because in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. I want to read this again. Psalm 27:5. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide, treasure me in his den like a lion, in the secret of his tabernacle. I want to talk about the secret. What is this secret place? The Hebrew word there for secret is sether. It means a shelter, a hiding place, a covering, a place of protection. Psalm 31:19 says this, and it uses all the words in Psalm 27:5. Psalm 31:19. Oh, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the sether, the secret of thy presence, from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly. And that's that word safan. That means treasurely. I'm going to treasure you in the pavilion from the strife of tongues. Now, when the Bible talks about it being hidden in the secret of the tabernacle, you've got to understand the context in which this was stated. That when David was talking about a tabernacle, he was talking about the tent of meeting that Moses created. And in the most secret place of the tabernacle, it wasn't just the outer court where the brazen altar was. There was another chamber called called the inner court, where the altar of incense was offered by the priest. But then there was another chamber called the most holy place, which is where the holies of holies was, which is where God's presence was. Nobody could go in there. Only one person go in there, and that was the high priest. And he only went there once a year. The Bible says, for in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret, the protection of his tabernacle, in the most inner sanctum of his presence, that God will surround me like a shield with his presence, so that the enemy cannot touch me or he cannot tempt me. When I get into the secret place, look what it says. Psalm 27, verse 6. I have sought God with all my heart. And because I've sought God with all my heart, God has treasured me. He's hidden me. He's put me in a place where, like a den, where he's going to protect me like a lion. He's put me in the hidden place, in the secret place of his presence. Look what it says in verse 6. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies, round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Now, here's the thing. This secret place apparently is not on just on level ground. This secret place that we're talking about is not in the valley. This secret place is in a high place, because David says, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. This place, now I want to talk about, how do we get to this place? One, you got to believe. Secondly, you also have to seek him. And thirdly, you need to have a fear of the Lord. You need to get a respect for God, where you respect God more than you respect the opinions of others. And when you do that, that is when God will show you the secret place. Psalm 25, verse 12. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Now, in the holies of holies, there is only one piece of furniture, and that was the Ark of the Covenant. And inside of the Ark of the Covenant was, of course, the covenant, the promises that God had afforded to Israel. And based upon those promises, Israel either stood or they fell. Once you understand the fear of the Lord and you seek God with all your heart and you get into his presence, God will show you the covenant. He'll show you the ability. He'll give you the instructions, the promises that will carry you out of the situation. Now, I'm going to read two more verses. I'm going to get out of here. Psalm 61. Psalm 61, verse 1. I want you to see this. Talking about the secret place, the place where God wants to hide you. Hear my cry, Psalm 61, verse 1. Hear my cry, O God. Attend unto my prayer. From the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle. Notice he's talking about the tabernacle again. Where is God going to hide me? In the secret of his tabernacle. Where is the tabernacle? It's in a high place, on a rock elevated above my enemies. You guys getting a picture of where the secret place is? Then he says, I will trust in the covert of thy wings. Now here's the thing, folks. When we get to the secret place, when we get to that place where we're in his presence and God shows us his covenant, you've got to stand on the word. You've got to stand on the word. Because if you don't stand on the word, then the enemy is going to be able to get you. Because you've got to stay in the secret place. Matthew 7, my last verse, and I'm quitting. Matthew 7, verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a man, a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. Where did the psalmist say he wanted to be led? To the rock that was higher than I. The only way you're going to get to the rock that's higher than yourself is when you obey the word of God. One of the reasons why that you're in trouble and you're falling apart and you're not finding the secret place, because you're not obeying the word of God. He says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. Now, here's what you need to do, folks. We need to seek God when trouble comes. For in the time of trouble, he'll hide me. But you will not hide me in the time of trouble unless I first say one thing of thy desire to the Lord, and that will I seek after. That once I seek God, God will hide me in the secret place. And the only way to get to the secret place is by obeying the word of God and standing on the word of God. Speaking of standing, let's stand. I'm done. Are you done playing peekaboo with God? Playing hide and seek? When really should we be playing seek and hide? Where we seek the hiding place. And in that place, God treasures you. God treasures you. And he hides you. And if you try to hide yourself, it's not going to work. And I understand this because I played hide and seek with my kids quite a bit. And since I'm bigger than they are, it takes me a little bit more time to try and find a place where I can hide. And they count fast. Have you ever noticed this? Whenever like you're playing hide and seek with a kid and you're doing the count, you count slow to give them plenty of time. When it's their turn, they're like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Okay, let's go. Ready or not, here I come. And since they're smaller, they can get in all sorts of little places. I can't. I need more time. I need a hiding place that's big enough and secure enough to keep me from where the enemy can get me. And the thing is, there are sometimes we feel so imprisoned by the enemy that we feel like we're hidden, but in the wrong sense, that we're hidden from God, that Satan has taken us capture. I'm going to tell him myself. My mother knows about this. She'll verify this. When I was a kid, I used to... how old was I? What'd you say? About two years old? Okay, so I was about 2 years old. I used to hide behind doors. But when I would go behind the door, I used to think that I was stuck there. And I would cry. I used to just sit there and just cry, think I couldn't get out, even though like all I had to do was just push the door open. And there's some of you that you think that you're in a prison that Satan has got you, and there's no way out. You've gotten yourself in this situation, and God is just saying, I've given you the authority to just push the door. And I used to sit there and just cry behind the door, thinking I was trapped, and I wouldn't move until she came and got me. That sounds silly, and I laugh at myself, you know, that was kind of crazy. Why was I doing that? But a lot of times we do that. We go behind a door, we get stuck in a situation, and we think there's no way out. And God has given us the power through the Spirit to find a way out. And God says, I'm the one who opens the doors and I can close them. I want you to understand how much God treasures you, and he wants to hide you. Hide you from the trouble. Hide you from the pain where it cannot touch you anymore. But that only happens when you seek God 100%. 100%. Now, the cool thing is, in the Old Testament, David had to go to a tabernacle. And that even in the Old Testament, that when people were trying to evade capture or they're trying to find asylum, they'd run to the horns of the altar and they'd hold on to that because that was a place of mercy. But in the New Testament, we don't have to necessarily run to a physical tabernacle, but we can hide in the very presence of God. I said one last scripture. That was my last scripture. I had one more. Colossians 3:1 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead and your life is hid in Christ with God. The tabernacle is now Christ. I hide myself in Christ. I don't have to run necessarily to a physical tabernacle and get into the Holy of Holies. I can hide in Christ. Wherever you are, God can conceal you, cover your sin, wash away your sin, wash away your pain. But that means you got to seek him first. And when you do so, that is when he will hide you. I offer you this opportunity to stop playing hide and seek. Stop trying to hide from God. Stop trying to cover up your own mess. The devil can see you, and God can see you too. He can see that bad attitude that's sticking out of that hiding place.
He can see that broken heart that's sticking out of that hiding place. He can see this horrible trauma that is sticking out. You're not concealed. The only thing that can conceal you is the blood of Jesus. And that's why we need to surrender our all to Him. That if we would seek Him with our whole heart, we would find Him today. I offer you this opportunity to seek Him. And when you do, the Bible says He's going to treasure you. He's going to protect you. He's going to preserve you. He's going to elevate you into a place on a rock where the enemy and the floods cannot touch you. I offer you this opportunity to seek and to hide. God bless you.